From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As we continue our special reporting from Into Action, the pop-up art exhibit and conference taking place in Los Angeles from January 13th through 21st, we'll turn next to two incredible political activists who got their start in sports. Speaking at an Into Action panel about athletes and activism were John Carlos and Eaton Thomas, two men from different generations who shared with me their views on politics. John Carlos is, of course, the 1968 Olympian who made history along with his colleague Tommy Smith for raising their fists in a Black Power salute. And Eaton Thomas, a retired professional basketball player who pursued social justice activism after leaving the NBA. He has just written the book We Matter, Athletes and Activism. Welcome to the program, John Carlos and Eaton Thomas.
It's great to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
An honor to have both of you on the same interview. The two of you are at Into Action in Los Angeles, and you're going to be speaking at a panel about athletes and activism. So, John, I'm going to start with you because your name is synonymous with the idea of athletes using their platform to speak about politics very boldly. How do you view what has happened in the past year with athletes, especially really high-profile athletes, speaking out?
Well, you know, 50 years ago, when we made the statement, they said we were troublemakers. You did the wrong thing. And you guys are bad guys. And my comment to them at that particular time, if you think that John Carlos is a bad guy for his actions today, wait for the next generation. Well, the next generation is here today. You know, we had a couple of individuals that felt it was necessary to make changes in society to give people a forward thought that they can have something that they can toss around their minds. But we were very few in numbers. What you see out there today is actually the fruit of our labor. You know, when you sit back and you think about a fruit tree, it's not one or two apples on the tree. The apples are blossoming all over the tree. So when you see what's happening with the young athletes today, that's just a tipping point, because now the entertainers are starting to get involved, and the writers are starting to get involved. I think a lot of people are starting to take an interest in terms of revealing who they are and their concerns about society at this particular time. So I'm impressed.
And Eaton, you, of course, have also spoken out very boldly and been an activist. How do you view what's happened? Have you been excited about Colin Kaepernick and all of the people who've come and you know, expressed solidarity with him and what he started last year? Not started, but I guess continued.
Well, you know, the athlete's voice is so strong, and there's so much power behind the voice, and it's great to see. And, you know, a lot of younger athletes starting to speak about different topics and speak about different issues, especially dealing with what we're dealing with right now with the current administration. So there's a lot to speak about. And, you know, Kaepernick has done a great job of verbalizing the different issues and verbalizing exactly what he is protesting. And young people watch, you know. So you see high school athletes taking a knee. You see high school athletes, you know, getting together and talking about injustice that's happening, whether in their city or in their state or on a national stage. And it's wonderful to see. I mean, this man right here, I mean, he's somebody who I grew up with a poster of him on my wall. You know what I mean? And, you know, so being able to watch him, study him, and learn about him really inspired me to be the type of athlete that I wanted to become. And I think a lot of young people now are now watching, you know, they're reading about Dr. Carlos, and then now they're watching Colin Kaepernick, and they're watching LeBron, and seeing how they're using their voices and things of that nature. And they're, you know, not only just waiting to be that athlete when they get older, but they're being that spoken out athlete right where they are, whether it's in high school or college. And it's beautiful to see.
What do you say to those who don't want athletes to be political because they feel that that's not what your training is? Your training is to play a sport on a field. We pay you to watch you. We want you to do your best there, and we want you to separate politics from that because it's just these are two completely different realms.
Well, I think there's two components involved in that. First component is that there's a fear factor. many young individuals have fear that they might lose their position in life. You know, if they think they're a young athlete, I'm concerned about, well, if I make a statement, I might not get an opportunity to play. I might not get an opportunity to maintain my scholarship. So that fear factor is always there. And then on the other hand, when you sit back and look at a lot of young athletes, they sit back in themselves and saying, I don't really have an understanding as to my history, my role in history. When you sit back and think about a lot of them, if you sit back and think about those individuals that's naysayers or those that's pushing back, those individuals are very naive relative to the history of social justice. In terms of taking a stance and standing behind the stance. You know, this is not a in the moment type thing. This is a universal thing. You know, it's a long lasting endeavor that you're involved in. You know, you can't jump in the pool of humanity and think that it's a one night stand. You know, this is something that you get involved in and you are going to carry it to the end to see that there's improvement. You have to take into account that Colin Kaepernick is a young man. I was a young man when I did it. I don't believe that Colin Kaepernick is doing it for himself. I didn't do it for myself, but we did it for our kids and our kids' kids down the line to make it a better world for all individuals to have an opportunity to flourish in this society in which we live.
And Eaton Thomas, I'm wondering if you have thoughts on the same issue, which is that does the political education of the athlete happen at the same time before one becomes an athlete or after one's wrapping up one's career? How does that, is it different for each individual?
It's definitely different for each individual. I mean, you know, I was reading about Dr. Carlos and Tommy Smith and Bill Russell and Kareem and, you know, Jim Brown and Muhammad Ali when I was younger. Those were the books that my mother introduced me to. So that's the knowledge that I had, you know, and she did that for a very specific reason. But
so you had your political education pretty early?
I had education, right. And that was done from my mother. And as I got older and started paying more attention, then I saw Mahmoud Abdul-Arouf, then I saw Craig Hodges. Then I, you know, kept watching and kept learning. And I think a lot of times, you know, athletes are inspired by other athletes. That's the way it is. And you hear some of the younger athletes right now talk about how specifically they're inspired by Colin Kaepernick and LeBron's and things of that nature. So you get inspiration from each other.
Like you were inspired by John Carlos.
Definitely, definitely.
And so what is that, that ripple effect? Does it matter that it stays in sports or that it goes out even and especially to the fans? Because first and foremost, the power that athletes get is from the people who admire them on the field.
Well, I think, first of all, it's a sort of like a culture shock treatment to the point where it invokes thought. People have a thought process about what's confronting them right now as to whether I need to take part in these activities that's taking place. They're starting to realize more and more today that it's not about what happened yesterday, it's about what's happening tomorrow, beyond my life, what's going to happen about my kids' life. Are they going to have an opportunity to go to school where they want to go, or to have a decent job, or to live, or have health care, and so forth. So many individuals are starting to think out of the box. We're not concerned about ourselves anymore. We're concerned about our offspring, whether we're going to do our role, our part, to make it a just society for our kids. You know, when you sit back and you think about when they had the, you know, one percenters down there on Wall Street, we went down there and started confronting them. And I remember looking in the eyes of so many individuals that walked by and saw us there and walking by with their suit and their tie on or their dress on, you know, in the business world. And then you could see after they walked by a day or two, you can see they were hunger. They had a thirst to be involved, to get involved in it. You know, letting you know that I really want to cross the line. And once again, they have to get by that fear factor. You know, fear is a very strong tool that they've used for so many years to oppress the minds. And I think a lot of individuals right now are starting to break these chains, so to speak, and doing what they feel is necessary to do to make change for themselves and their families.
So when they see someone like you raise your fist, it can be a cultural transformation of even on an individual level.
Without a doubt. I mean, when you sit back and you think about kids in school, you know, they look at their history book and they turn to the pages in their history book and they see this particular picture. Now, mind you, in the history book, they don't have any literature written about it other than two lines underneath the picture. They don't tell you the story. But the statement is so compelling and tell the kids, turn the page back and say, what is this? We want to know about this. And they confront their teachers, they confront the administrators of the school. How come we don't know anything about this other than the picture you put in the magazine? So they're starting to challenge the system as well at a very early age.
And often the outcry against that kind of political expression comes from people who say that it's anti-patriotic. Sports have been conflated with patriotism, or at least some people's version of patriotism. And I'm wondering if both of you can reflect on that, why patriotism and militarism become these strong themes in sporting events, so that when you do speak out, you're suddenly anti-America.
Well, usually when people want to label you as anti-American, that's just because they don't like whatever it is that you spoke out about. You know, it's definitely convenient. It's an easy way to get everybody to be against you. You know, if they agree with you and they say, oh, that's great, look how great that athlete is speaking out and things of that nature. That's wonderful. Like, nobody's gonna be upset about an athlete speaking out against domestic violence. Nobody's gonna say they're anti-American or not patriotic, right? But if you speak out against something else, then so you're always going to have people who are going to purposely try to demonize you because they want to kill the message. So they want to kill the messenger to kill the message. And so they want to demonize you and tear you down. And that's the thing about athletes who will be able to support each other, you know what I mean, and be able to, you know, have fans that support you as well. I mean, I think the addition of social media has brought a whole new level of support that probably Dr. Carlos didn't see as much when he was, you know, in 68, 69, you know? So, I mean, you have to be able to be confident, secure, and to be able to stand up on your own, regardless of who agrees with it or who doesn't agree with it. That's one thing, but you have to expect that you're going to be verbally attacked or demonized in some kind of way when you take a stance, because that's just the way it works.
Well, you know, more than being demonized, you know, when you sit back and think about what they do, they like to put a spin on everything. You know, like when, you know, Mr. Kopenhagen came out and made his statement and took a knee, he made a statement about police brutality, police homicide. They took a spin on it and said that, well, he was anti-America merely because he chose to use the form of the national anthem. But when you chose to use the form, then it opened the Pandora's box in terms of people having an opportunity to, well, let me evaluate this anthem. Does this anthem cover all of its citizens of this country? Many people began to realize it didn't. So they, like, pushed it even more about he's being unpatriotic. They tried and say, well, he was against the soldiers in the United States that went to war. But people such as myself, we had to make it clear to them that these individuals that went to war, they went to war to give him the right to make a statement against the atrocities that he's dealing with, we're dealing with as people of color in this country. But we realize that they're going to put a spin on it, just as Ethan said, that, you know, they want to try and confuse people and intimidate people. So just, you know, it's like a chess game. You know, they make their move, and we look at them, say, smile, good move, yeah. But we know that we're growing in numbers by the moves that we're making as well. You know, you're just not going to be able to stop the masses from educating themselves as to what the real issues are in society that we have to deal with.
Did you see the video of Donald Trump trying to sing along with the national anthem at the recent sporting event that he went to?
Well, Donald Trump is a fraud. I mean, it's obvious he's a fraud. He's been a fraud for some time. And you know, it's just a prelude to who he really is. You know, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and him up there at the football game to make a pretense that I'm so patriotic. I remember going on the, I believe it was CNN one day, and I made the statement about, you know, he's raving with the flag of patriotism. And I asked him, I said, well, Mr. President, my family were military people. My father was in the First World War, but my son was in the Kuwaiti War. My brothers, you know, they were in Vietnam. And I asked the president, I said, Mr. President, show me your discharge papers from the military. Show me your father's discharge papers or your son's discharge papers. I said, until you can show me these things, rather than showing me your deferments where you had five deferments where you couldn't go or you wouldn't go to represent your country, but you want to come and call these young kids that's making a gallant statement to bring awareness to society about the ills of society. He want to call them, what did he call them?
Scumbags.
Scumbags.
Something like that.
Yeah, some filthy, yeah, horrible name. You know, it's despicable just, yeah, to be the chief magistrate of the United States, for him to come out and use the type of language that he used and think that people are just going to be silent about it. So, you know, when he does that, he's stirs the pot, and it just invigorates more people to step up and say, let me challenge this individual because he's a true idiot representing this nation.
He said it all.
So going back to this question of patriotism and sporting events and militarism, what sort of transformation should we, or would you like to see, of the sporting industry itself? I mean, on the one hand, it makes athletes famous and powerful and gives them a platform to speak out if they want to speak out. On the other hand, it also fosters the sense of, you know, everyone should shut up and obey and just enjoy the game. They're very moneyed events. They're corporate-sponsored events. Is our sporting culture broken?
I mean, I don't know if the sporting culture is broken. It depends on the individual and what they want to stand for. I mean, you have LeBron James, who is one of the highest grossing and endorsements that we've had since probably Jordan. You know what I mean? I mean, he's that level, and he's chosen to speak out on numerous issues. And, you know, athletes have to realize their power, that when you are of that level, you dictate. They don't dictate, you dictate. So what are they going to tell LeBron? They don't want to represent him anymore if he speaks out against something? He's LeBron. You know what I mean? So he has that freedom to be able to do it. And I think, you know, athletes right now are realizing their power and they're expressing themselves. And it's really beautiful to see, because for a little while, there was a little quiet time. There was a time where athletes were a little bit more, you know, and then, I don't know, after 2000 maybe, it started to be a resurgence, and now it's just, you know.
Black Lives Matter made a big difference, you think?
Oh, no, huge difference. Well, one of the biggest differences was a lot of the murders at the hands of the police kind of pushed a lot of athletes to be able to start speaking out, because after you saw the videotapes over and over and over again, you know, they were like, oh my gosh, this is awful. And, you know, the athletes have the media at their disposal, and they use their voices. They have social media at their disposal. They have millions of followers that they could, you know, tweet out their message to. So it's really beautiful to see.
Well, athletes, in my perspective, is they have more recognition and notoriety than the President of the United States on a worldwide level. And then you have to take into account that the young athletes of today, they're starting to realize what unity means, unification means. You know, they're starting to realize that, you know, we are a unit like a tank. You know, there's no part of this tank that's more important than the other part, you know. And they realize at the same time that, hey, yes, we appreciate the fact that you're the owner of this team, or you're the president of this league and so forth, and make sure that we let you understand, although we appreciate you, we want that same appreciation back for who we are and our concerns in society. So, like, yeah, we respect you as being the cow that gives the milk, but we want you to understand that we're the grass that the cow has to eat. If there's no grass, there's no cow. And I think they understand and respect that relative to an individual such as LeBron James or anyone of this caliber. But yet and still, as I stated, that they are becoming to realize, as athletes cross the board, whether it be football or whether it be soccer or whether it be boxing or what have you, they're starting to come together as that tank and realize that we all have to work together in order to make this change, and it's drastic change, because they're not ready to turn the corner, so to speak, on these issues. And we're letting them know that time has run out. You have no choice. You have to change if you want to keep your business going, fabulous business going, I might say, because they've been making money for eons. I mean, you sit back and you think about back in the time when I was a little kid and I went to the movies to see the Jackie Robinson story. And I think that's when I first became aware of how prejudice is such a sad and sorry situation, to find that here's a guy that used to come to my father's house to play poker, and I saw him as my father's friend, and then I go to the movies and see this man that he's a superstar. And the superstardom had nothing to do with how he was being treated as a black man in the United States, to the point where his own teammates wouldn't respect him as a member of the team merely because of the color of his skin. So those days are over, you know, and Jackie Robinson had to go through some mental trauma himself to start to rise up and start to speak out. You know, we sit back, we think about Curt Flood. You know, there's so many individuals, Jack Johnson, you know, Paul Robeson, each and every one of them realized their importance in the sports that they were in, but yet and still chose to make a statement, chose to say, well, I'm gonna rise above the fear and to let other people know that, hey man, you are me. You can be me, you are me. you have a right to speak out. It's your responsibility to speak out. And I think more young individuals are starting to realize that it's their responsibility, even greater than the fact that it's their right.
One last question. Earlier, Eitan was saying that in 1968, you were fairly alone, you and Tommy Smith. How important is solidarity from other athletes, not just fans showing you they support you, but other athletes? And we saw that with Colin Kaepernick and people joining him. There is strength in numbers, right?
Well, let me just say, first of all, I wasn't alone. I had two strong factors in my life. I had God in my life, and I had my family in my life. Regardless of me swimming upstream and everybody swimming downstream to tell me that I'm going the wrong way, well, my attitude is, well, we have to wait and go a little farther to see who's right and who's wrong. But young individuals right now, they're starting to realize that, hey, man, I have a very significant role, and I don't have too much time to fill this slot in the role that I have to play, because, sports evaporates real quick. Before you know it, you're in and out of the game. But you have to have the opportunity to speak on the issues while you're in the limelight. That's why it's so imperative that I went to the Olympic Games and did it at the national anthem. That's why it's so imperative that Mr. Kaepernick did it at the national anthem. Not to say that you disrespecting the flag, but to say that this is the one that everyone is focusing on. Where else am I going to get my point across to? Not just the United States, but throughout the world, because we have social issues that's affecting black athletes and Hispanic athletes around the world that play soccer and so forth, that they're going through things that we went through in the 50s. And everyone wants something that they can grab onto and say, hey, man, I saw these individuals do a certain thing. Just as those little kids seeing that book, the picture in the history book, something that they can grab onto, something that gives them encouragement to say, hey, man, stand up for what you believe is right.
Last thoughts?
I mean, I think that it's a wonderful time right now where you see so many young athletes using their voices, and you have inspiration like Dr. John Carlos to really just be able to see the strength that he had to be able to do it. I mean, right now, it's a different time right now. It's not 1968, and the amount of courage that it took for him to be able to stand. I mean, and he had, he had John Tommy Smith who stood with him and Peter Norman who stood with him. But after that, it was like they was by themselves, and it was like the whole country came down on them. And for them to take a stance the way they did, I mean, it's really admirable. So it's something that young athletes could really learn from.
When you sit back and you think about the lighthouse, I mean, that's what it's all about, shedding the light to society,
right.
It's about each one teach one. If I make a statement 50 years ago or 50 days ago, someone realized that it was out of the norm, and it gave them inner strength that they never knew they had.
Thank you both so much for spending this time with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's an interview I did at the Into Action pop-up event in Los Angeles with John Carlos, the 1968 Olympian who made history along with his colleague Tommy Smith when they raised their fists in a Black Power salute, and Eitan Thomas, a retired professional basketball player who pursued social justice activism after leaving the NBA. He's just written the book We Matter, Athletes and Activism. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.